And welcome back. There are a few stories beginning to pop up with some regularity now that, gosh, there just might be a lot of people in this country and on this planet who are edging closer to their end. Their clocks are running low because of the bioweapon injections, and we're real close to putting the virus itself almost on the same level as the catastrophic damage that's being done to the human body with the virus itself. It does different things than the injections do, to a degree. Not all different, of course. But they're both very bad. And the more you become infected with the COVID virus, the bioweapon virus, the worse you're going to have it. So understand, you don't want to get this virus. Don't play games. And again, when I go out, I wear lightweight gloves, I wear a mask, and I'm very careful. And I do keep distance. I won't say 6 feet, but I keep distance. It's probably much more than that on average. We're going to get to a story in a minute. Dr. Shankara Chetty, the South African physician who played a very strong role in the beginning of this whole bioweapon attack on humanity, has again become infected with the virus, and he almost died. We're going to cover that in just a few minutes. But the big story here, I think, probably in a while, is this South Korean study, and I believe it was almost 200,000 people. They used some kind of health tables, actuarial tables, to find out who's ill from the injection, who's not, what kinds of diseases are being commonly reported. Anyway, we're going to talk about this. Hello there, Bright Eyes. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Not that good, but I'm trying. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm all right.
You're here.
When the pieces began to come together and you saw that they were literally euthanizing Joe Biden on live TV, you just kind of laugh at it. It is all such a scripted, pathetically obvious soap opera. And we're going to see now. The next word will be Trump's VP choice. And after that, Trump's July 11th sentencing, which he'll probably get prison, like a couple dozen years in prison. And then, of course, it looks like Biden is going to be yanked. Like, they can't keep this charade up. They did not inject him like they did for the State of the Union. You could see that, obviously. Anybody could see that. So they kind of just pushed him out there, and they gave him, I think, half a dose, and he foundered. Boy, go look at the State of the Union address to see if you notice any similarity there. You won't. Not much at all. Okay, so we've got a lot of people dying on this planet. If myocarditis doesn't get them, if their blood being destroyed doesn't get them, if their liver and kidneys somehow survive this onslaught of spike and infestation by other terribly evil and malevolent organisms, tools, proteins, the spike, it looks like prions may do it. It looks like prions and other things that attack the brain may take many of these people out. If they weren't taken out already by some of the other things that we've always mentioned here over and over and over, the many different pathways to the end of life. So the South Korean study made big news. William Mackus even picked it up and ran with it. I've posted it at least twice now. It's a big story. Your thoughts?
Well, he referenced three studies that have come to the same conclusion that these things destroy the brain. One was titled A Potential Association Between COVID-19 Vaccination and Development of Alzheimer's Disease. Mm-hmm. And that was 519,330 vaccinated versus
38,600. 500,000.
Yeah,
so
half a
million. Why, that was 200. Wow. Well, maybe the other study was two. I don't know.
38,000 unvaxxed. Mm-hmm. You know, and the results are damning. The mRNA vax at 3 months, 140% higher mild cognitive impairment, and 23% higher Alzheimer's disease.
90 days after you're vaxxed, yeah. The average would suggest that one-third of the people are showing cognitive differences after 90 days. Wow.
And then the second study, psychiatric adverse events following COVID-19 vaccination, a population-based cohort study in Seoul, South Korea. And that was 4,348,412 individuals living in Seoul, Korea.
4.3 million people. Unreal.
And it concludes cumulative incidence of depression, anxiety, dissociative, stress-related and somatoform disorders, sleep disorders, sexual disorders at 3 months following COVID-19 vaccination were higher in the vaccination group. Depression was up by 68%. Anxiety, dissociative, stress, somatoform up 44%. Sleep disorders was 93%.
See, right there, you have clear indication that there's brain damage being done. Clearly. That's not something that's being done to your toes. That's mental. That's brain. 93% sleep disorders. 44% anxiety and stress. That's 4.3 million. Unbelievable. Huge study. Depression, 69, almost 70%. Yeah. And there are other things as well. 90 days and cognitive disorders are showing up. That's 30% of the vaxxed. Wow.
Yeah.
4.3 million people. That's astonishing. Well, everything we've said is being borne out by these statistics. It's all there.
Yep. And that's
Over two and a half years ago, I'll bet, if not more, we warned about the brain issue, that it wasn't going to get the attention that it probably should, that it may be a late arrival to the party because prions take time. And we didn't mention the prion protein danger and explained the cascade in the human body, the protein cascade of prion proteins being formed. And those newly formed prion misfolded proteins can go on and cause any other protein that they run into to become misfolded. And what a nightmare. We talked about this long ago. Go ahead.
Well, there's that, but there's also just the lipid nanoparticle, which I knew it was going to cross the blood-brain barrier, that there was nothing to keep that out of the brain. And you would get inflammation just from that. Now, inflammation can do a lot of damage.
Let's define inflammation real quickly for anybody out there. Inflammation is a word that's tossed around a lot. I want to make it real clear for all of you out there. When you get this virus either on the hoof from somebody else or you get injected, the inflammation level in your body immediately goes up. Immediately. It goes right up.
Yeah, this is probably the most inflammatory virus ever, and the spike protein being the worst of it. The other parts to the virus are bad too, but nothing, close to what the spike protein does. So, wherever it goes, it causes just relentless inflammation, and inflammation is the body's way of protecting itself. It's trying to wall off an area from injury so that it can heal and minimize the damage. But when it does that, it has to, wall itself off, and that restricts blood flow to the area along with oxygen. So you do pay a price for it. And it's fine if it's short term, but when it goes on and just unremitting, and you get this systemic hypoxia, and the oxidative stress that does a lot of damage on its own and can itself become a cascade of damage, well, the body gets destroyed. And the oxidative stress in this viral infection and the people that died, as we know, the few autopsies that were done early on in Italy, the oxidative stress was on a par with that you would see with radiation damage.
Right. Right. It was huge. You made that point. No one else that I ever heard mentioned that at all. It's a perfect corollary to look at.
I mean, oxygen toxicity
damage
is does the same type of damage on a cellular level as ionizing radiation. The only difference is you know how it's being generated. With oxygen toxicity, it comes from oxygen. Mm-hmm. With ionizing radiation, mm-hmm. it comes from water. But you know, you start that cascade with bumping electrons off of molecules, and you know it can start going on indefinitely, and the body can become depleted in its own reservoir of antioxidants. And, you know, it can very quickly get out of control and do a lot of damage. But I want to say that, you know, prion damage in this situation is just one of many ways the brain can be damaged from the pathology.
Okay, we're going to lay this out for you. Let me say one other thing before we do that. If you have a mental pad and paper or your computer keyboard, you want to kind of write these things down that we're going to give you. She's going to lay it out. There are many things that can destroy your brain. And without your brain, you're obviously gone. Now, I want to say one other thing about this study in South Korea. 4,350,000 people living in Seoul, South Korea. And a hell of a lot of them had severe, we'll call them side effects just for fun. Nearly 70% were depressed, anxiety, stress, 44%, sleep disorders, 93%. Okay, that's just in that one study. They talk about recovery, and apparently, overall, 50% of the patients achieved full recovery. Well, that sounds kind of nice, doesn't it? But the other way to phrase it is 50% never recovered. See the psychology here? It's very simple, but it works. 50% recovered fully. Well, what about the others? All right, let's tell them how the brain can be taken down and out. We've got prions on the table. Most of our listeners, you guys know what that is. You understand that now. And understand that inflammation is another major killer of the brain, major organ systems, doesn't matter. Inflammation is not wanted. And oxygen can lead to that kind of a problem in and of itself. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, there's endotoxemia, which is when you have the breakdown products of bacteria that enter into the bloodstream, the fragments of bacterial cell walls, and they're very inflammatory, particularly the gram-negative bacteria. They're called lipopolysaccharides or endotoxins, and they create a systemic inflammation. And that includes the brain.
You do not want that. Now, we've got that. We've got LNP. We've got prions. We have inflammation. So there's four right there that can go to work on the brain.
We have dysregulated iron.
That's fine.
We have dysregulated copper.
And never talked about by virtually anybody. Not talked about.
Yeah, copper may be a bigger player here than anyone realizes. You like iron, we need copper, but when copper is not bound to its proteins, it is very, very toxic, and it will interfere with your iron regulation.
Mm-hmm.
Iron, to regulate iron, you need copper. But if copper is on the loose, it will interfere with the production of iron sulfur clusters, which are very important for a long list of different enzymes, things like for making collagen,
mm-hmm. which may tie into the complaint of so many people about suddenly looking 10 years older after a few months.
Yeah, well, not just that, but we have an epidemic now of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which is a hypermobility syndrome. It's often associated with a copper transport genetic disease.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But worse of all is the propensity for aneurysms, because the vessel wall becomes weak if it can't be properly cross-linked. The collagen in the vessel wall, you know, needs a strong cross-link to withstand the flow of blood. And so if there isn't the enzyme lysyl oxidase, which needs an iron sulfur cluster to work properly, or copper is missing, then you're not going to have proper collagen production for your vessels. So, and then, you know, loose copper in the brain is associated with all kinds of neurodegenerative diseases, probably because, you know, if it's in its free form and not behaving the way it's supposed to, then it can't regulate iron. So these metals in states of inflammation can become very toxic because they dissociate from their carrier proteins and then contribute to this oxidative stress. What else do we have? Porphyria. Porphyria is renowned for causing psychotic episodes, neuropsychiatric issues.
We've covered that here. I've never seen it covered anywhere else better than you have, and it's true.
Oh, there's a lack of awareness about porphyria, just in general.
There's a lack of awareness about a lot of things. We can't expect the rank-and-file people, whatever country they may be living in, to understand human physiological mechanisms like you do and like we present. We don't expect you all to have the ability to pass a major test on this, but just understand the general direction, the flow that we are being pushed in as a species by this successful deployment of the most deadly bioweapon ever invented by humanity, as far as we know. This is horrific. So when you get your COVID vax, after 90 days, Dr. Mackus writes that you'll get these bonuses, he writes. 140% report, 140%, you get it? Mild cognitive impairment. That's mild. How many were moderate to severe? 23% Alzheimer's dementia reported. 68% depression. 44% anxiety, stress. 93% sleep disorders, sexual disorders, increased risk of psychosis within 7 days of being injected if you're in your 30s with only a 50% chance of recovery. All right. Anything else that you want to mention about brain disaster?
Oh, sure. I mean, there's a couple more. We have ammonia. You know, when the liver can't clear ammonia that can build up and get into the brain neuropsychiatric symptoms. We have quinolinic acid from pulling on the kynurenine pathway. That's from tryptophan. And when you're wanting to make more NAD, it will pull from that kynurenine pathway. And that can, that's a complicated pathway that can result in the formation of quinolinic acid, which is neurotoxic.
Wow.
And
that's about nine by my count, I think.
Then we have autoimmune encephalitis, unconjugated bilirubin, even just
these are all,
you know, small
seriously
vessel disease.
Damaging to the brain, and all result.
Well, they can result in psychiatric symptoms, and it you know, it's not necessarily prions. Although we know that the spike has that potential. But
remember
there's a
the
long
damages?
List of other possibilities.
Remember all the damages reported? Personality change? Remember that whole subject? That's what we're talking about now. It doesn't have to be holes in your brain. It's still damaging your psyche, your whole personality. Wow.
Yeah, inflammation in the brain is not a good thing. And, you know, a number of these things that I've listed, they're, you know, toxic in and of themselves and things that you don't want to have in your brain.
Well, all right.
But just the restricted blood flow, as I said, the you know, small vessel disease.
Sludge blood on top of that. Small vessel disease, and you're trying to push sludge through it, and your heart is overworking. it's already damaged from myocarditis, pericarditis, etc., T-cells attacking your heart cells because they've been messed with by the spike protein, or mRNA, or both.
Right.
This is really, it's a perfect segue. Dr. Shankara Chetty said, and we played this clip multiple times on the program, to try to establish a bedrock of communication with all of you about the severity of this biological virus weapon and biological injection weapon. And what Dr. Chetty said in the beginning was the spike protein is the deadliest protein that mankind has ever developed. Something along those lines. I'm paraphrasing. But his point was dead on. 100% right. Now, he's just had, I guess, three at least encounters with the bioweapon virus.
Yeah, this is and his third round.
He was in ICU, and
yep.
They're not wanting to talk about this, but he was a very sick man and dangerously sick. He could have died. That's the inside guesstimate.
Well, and the interesting thing was he had to tell the doctors when he was, you know, in moments where he was lucid enough, tell the doctors how to treat his situation. He knew what was going on. He had the presence of mind to understand what was happening, and he instructed them how to treat him.
Wow. Talk about an advocate.
Because if he hadn't done that, he said they were running up every conceivable test, trying to figure out what was wrong with him, and everything was coming back normal. The one thing that gave it away, I guess you could say, was he had an elevated D-dimer. And he knew from there he was microclotting.
Well, we're very glad he did somehow manage to advocate for himself in a semi-conscious state. But even more than that, we should give credit to the doctors who at least listened to what he was telling them.
Right,
And obviously employed that. Now, that if you went into a hospital, if one of you went into a hospital here, severely knocked on your butt from this COVID virus, and yes, there are viruses, and you're in a semi-conscious state, what doctor is going to listen to you if you start babbling about fenbendazole or ivermectin or any of the other things that we know are certainly valuable adjuncts, if not, in some cases, antidotes to this horror, at least in the short run? So let's listen to Dr. Chetty now talk about this for a few minutes and see what we can come up with. I haven't heard this yet. All right, we ready?
Yep.
All right, here we go.
Designed. Every exposure to the virus in an unvaccinated patient leaves you at risk of being sensitized by the...
Every exposure to the virus, the COVID virus, that you pick up in the supermarket or wherever, among the unvaccinated, gets worse. Okay? He just said it. I'm going to back this up. I want you... This is very important. It's not...
This is the sensitization that we've been talking about now for months.
Yep.
So, you know, you get this overreaction when you're exposed to the protein or the virus again.
Here we go.
Once you've been sensitized, it's like an allergy.
Designed. Every exposure to the virus in an unvaccinated patient leaves you at risk of being sensitized by the spike protein. And that sensitization can occur in any tissue in your body. And I think that tissue is determined by some genetic predisposition, blood groups, histocompatibility complexes, exposures through your life, your tolerance to your environment, those kind of things.
That's an interesting angle that I haven't heard presented before, I don't think, that lifestyle, your life history, biophysiology is very important. any kinds of effects and impacts that you've had in your past could play into this hypersensitization thing. That's interesting.
Well,
so
again, it was that
everyone's different. Yeah,
I've mentioned this HLA. You know, that's a major histocompatibility complex gene, the human leukocyte antigen, and everybody's different. That's your tissue typing gene. It's the way your immune system processes foreign proteins. It digests them, and then it presents them on the surface of the immune cells, and right. Your body decides how it's going to react to them. And everybody's different. And, of course, the people that are sensitive to shedding that are not making antibodies to spike, you have to wonder if these are the people that have the biotoxin HLA type.
Oh. Interesting.
Because their bodies, their immune system, cannot tag these biotoxins, so they don't make an antibody to it. They just shoot a bunch of bullets at it in the form of massive inflammation.
Wow.
So there is variability there. And, so that is a type of immune cell that's uh-huh. going to determine how you react to this thing. And then whatever you've been exposed to during your lifetime, your immune system has a memory of that, and maybe it sees something similar on this spike protein, and that determines how it's going to react.
All right. Back to Dr. Chetty.
That kind of exposure is with the virus, hopefully transient. But with the vaccine, it is an exposure that, again, is targeted and will be dependent on your genetic constitution as to which organs actually get targeted. Remember, Philip, we know the biodistributions throughout the body. But biodistribution is one thing. Incorporation into a cell membrane is something else. Let's not even get into the contaminants that we saw in the vaccine and the poor marketing of it and the way it was not transported accordingly and what comes with that. But if you just look at the RNA and what it was meant to do in creating spike protein and us understanding its biodistribution, Philip, you and I from the start been talking about spike protein being a membrane protein. And if the body makes this protein, it will get incorporated into the cell membranes of the cells that make this. Now, of course, I think that there's a genetic predisposition into which cells manufacture spike. Because in some people it's renal tissue and in some people it's cardiac tissue. And so we're finding spike in a lot of different tissues, but not necessarily everywhere. So I think the ability to incorporate spike into your tissue, it has a genetic predisposition. But what that actually does is it primes different people in different ways. So we're sitting with a population where some are primed, some have their livers primed, and some have their kidneys primed, and some have their hearts primed, and some have their neurology primed by their exposure to this single toxin. Spike.
When he's saying primed, we should probably define that just a little bit. Primed.
Well, that's the sensitization process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, well, think about a bee sting. You get a bee sting, you recover, you think nothing of it. But it could be that bee sting, depending on the type of antibody you generated from it, the next mm-hmm. time you get stung by a bee, you could have an anaphylactic shock.
Exactly. All right, here we go.
Now, if you have a population like that that's primed, then a virus with a very specific spike protein can act as a very effective, discrete, and discriminate trigger for the population you wish to target in the next
I want you to think about something here, Shankar. This is very important, and a lot of people don't get it, and it's because I look for it.
This is Dr. Philip McMillan. You've heard him before.
Why I see it. A lot of people don't even know when they were infected because sometimes yeah. symptoms are so mild that they just ignore them. And then 3-4 weeks later, they have significant pathology. As you say, it could be kidney, it could be heart, it could be brain, whatever. And I have noticed from a clinical point of view that if you go back carefully and you look for that prodrome, you usually find it. And so you're right in the sense that there is a time delay between the exposure to the spike and the manifestations of disease. And very easily, people will not connect the two. Unlike...
They won't connect the two, Philip. They will be discrete. They will be discriminant. And so you even if you have a pathogen that spreads, if you have a pathogen that liberates a certain variant of spike protein, and that variant of spike protein triggers an autoimmune response to people who have developed receptors on a particular organ system, so let's say your blood or your vessels, then that particular variant will trigger all the people that were primed in that way. And so we'll have a similar disease with a group of people presenting with hemorrhagic coagulopathy kind of illnesses. And that would tie in with what we would be sold as a new variant causing hemorrhagic problems. So, yeah, it's not indiscriminate. They can group it together. But I think it's time we realize we've been primed. In one of the interviews we spoke about, Philip, I mentioned that I'm of the opinion that they've changed the physiology of the entire planet. And what I mean by that is how we respond to the things around us. And what allows us to survive and thrive is our ability to tolerate our unique environments and our ability to resist the pathogens that might influence us in that environment. And it's a balancing act our immunity is more than adapted to take care of. It's the reason we thrive. It's the reason for our existence. Now, the fact that this has happened, and the fact that I am of the opinion that the root of the problem lies in the understanding of immunity, or our lack of understanding of how the different immune mechanisms interplay with each other. And this is occurring throughout nature, Philip. It's balancing everything around me. And our lack of understanding, and more importantly, the understanding of certain people with nefarious agendas of how this works, and using it to suppress certain information and use certain knowledge for the wrong means. We are at a place in humanity where we face an existential threat that is absolutely invisible.
We are at a place in humanity where we face an existential threat which is absolutely invisible. Think about it.
It's an existential threat. And we have to figure ways to identify how people have been put at risk. Because let me tell you, if I did not mention to the doctors disseminated intravascular coagulopathy, my D-dimers, my concern about microvascular clotting, this being my eighth day, understanding how it triggers it, how this will spiral out of control before they actually understand the pathology, that there are certain things they can do without having to think about it. Rule out hemorrhage, anticoagulate me, deal with the rest as you see fit, you know? And I think it was that little bit of advice that saved my life. It saved my life. And I think it made me stop and redirect, re-understand. So now with my understanding, Philip, we must remember when it comes to immunity, we can talk about immune priming. We can talk about immune suppression. But one thing we must never forget, we should also talk about immune labeling. They can use viruses and vaccines to label us accordingly, label the target before you release the weapon, and use the genetics of the individual to specifically label the targets you wish. You're using our genetic predispositions against us. So the variants, the vaccine, all these kind of things can act as priming, and for them, to release the appropriate trigger whenever they feel it absolutely necessary. But I think, Philip, I understand it's a spiritual war. I've mentioned this to you many times. Everything that's happened to me along the journey, I think, was meant to happen, meant for me to understand, use the knowledge I'm blessed with to gain understanding, for us to use it to save lives. I do understand what humanity faces. I mean, last year I did a pilgrimage to Mount Kailash to sit in front of God and figure out where we're going. It's something I think is vitally important. I know we'll not solve this problem on our own. We might be given insight into what's happening around us.
I know we'll not solve this COVID problem, virus or injection, on our own. This man, as brilliant as he is, and as early in this horror show as he stood up and said the spike protein is the deadliest protein that mankind has ever created, he knew. And now, after nearly four years, he's saying, we're not going to beat this thing without some kind of divine help. That's quite a statement to me.
Mm. Yeah.
Moment, humanity hasn't yet come to grasp with the gravity of what faces us.
Humanity has yet to come to grasp with the gravity of what faces us. This is, see, a lot of people don't necessarily like this program because it's bad news. We've been trying to describe the indescribable for years here. It's that horrible.
Yeah.
Whoever put this together, I don't believe it was one or two quack jerks in some lab working with another lab. I don't know. This is, it's too evil. It's too complex.
We are at the brink of extinction. And
did you get that? I hope so.
Still far from understanding how that's going to happen. But a simple understanding of the nefarious agenda, how immunology works, how we can be targeted, how they've actually targeted us, will bring us solutions. And I'm sure if we can cure things like erythroblastosis fetalis, snake venom poisonings, things like tetanus toxoids, and how to negate that, I think humanity has great potential. And I'm sure we'll solve the problem if you understand the problem and simply accept the extent of it. Underestimate it at your own peril. And so I prefer overestimating it and being prepared.
Underestimate the danger at your own peril. So those of you who laugh at people who wear masks or gloves or whatever, you shouldn't be laughing. And I know most of you out there don't laugh. Underestimate this at your own peril. No wiser words are you going to hear. All right,
there's still people that don't really appreciate what this is.
No, they're prisoners of the mainstream media and the corrupt alt-news media paradigm, which is utter disinformation and lies, frauds. Oh, God, some of these people. I'd love to mention their names. We have. They're evil. Evil. We've gone about as far as this as we want to go this time.
But I would recommend watching the whole thing. I think it's about an hour, right? Because he goes into some detail of how this most recent bout with the virus came on. It kind of snuck up on him.
It's 1 hour and 6 minutes, and I'll put it under our names in guests later on tonight so you can access the whole thing. And the part that I'm playing tonight, 53 minutes, was it?
Yeah, 53 was his closing statements.
Right. That was the start of what I played. Erica found it. 53 minutes. You can go right to there, and you can listen again to what you've just heard here. These are words to the wise. The unwise, honestly, doesn't have a chance.
No, people really don't understand why, what makes this so bad.
They don't. And when he told the doctors what to look for and what to treat, even he was so blessed to find doctors who even understood what the hell he was talking about. Most doctors don't go there. They're not in that in that whole mental paradigm. So, yeah, all right.
Yeah, lucky.
So, very, very lucky. Very lucky indeed. Well, bless that man for speaking the truth. You just heard more truth in that 10 minutes from one man than maybe we've ever played in 10 minutes of anybody. That was powerful, powerful material.
Well, he came pretty close to the edge, not over the edge. You know, he had to be resuscitated 3 times. He had stopped breathing, which they think was just an interruption of the blood supply to the brainstem. You know, he was clotting.
I had no idea that he had 3 times had to be resuscitated. I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, it's no joke. So once you have that, you've been sensitized. Your body is going to react in a particular way every time it gets exposed to the poison. And for him, it does a number on his blood. He starts this micro clotting. It's interesting that different organ systems get sensitized in different people.
It's very
for some, it's the nervous system.
And it has to do, apparently, with your life experience physiologically, your genetics. They knew when they put this thing together what it would do. They knew it. It turned loose death on humanity. That's what they've done.
You know, when you look in the textbook of bioweapon research, this fits the description to a T. This represents all kinds of techniques they were studying.
Well,
they got a lot of them.
Talk about transfer of wealth. Look how much money those dirty, rotten bastards are making from people who are sick and dying.
Oh, I saw a post today where a woman went for an iron infusion, and the bill, I've got it right here, and it was, you're not going to believe this, an iron infusion, just, you know, a bag, drip, drip, drip. Let's see. The cost was, they billed her insurance $10,562.87. The insurance covered $10,249.70. And she was made to pay $313.17. $10,000 was billed to her insurance company. That's obscene.
Well, she didn't go to a bag bar, and that's why bag bars are apparently as popular as they apparently are. That's crazy.
That's obnoxious. And we wonder why insurance premiums are through the roof here?
No. There won't be insurance before this is over in many cases. They're just going to disqualify people, say we don't cover anybody who's been made sick by an unproven experimental product.
Right.
They're already doing that. So don't expect your insurance to come through for you. If it does, count your blessings. Wow. All right. The cost of following orders. Real quick intro. We only have about 6-7 minutes.
Relates to the military and the mandates that were imposed on those people. And this is a young woman, 24 years old, who followed orders.
All right.
And now she's paying for it.
I'm 24 years old. I have had 3 heart attacks, a mini stroke, and I am now getting a pacemaker.
What's to blame?
The COVID vaccine, and that's when everything flipped upside down for me.
So is this Army memo an acknowledgement that your heart condition is the result of the COVID vaccine?
It 100% is.
Were you left behind by the Army and the National Guard?
I was left behind and trampled.
Meet Carolina Stancic, a specialist in the Army National Guard. She takes 27 pills every day after suffering her first heart attack while on active duty.
Did you have heart issues before you joined the military?
Not a single heart issue. I could run 10 miles at a time, play basketball, and now I have trouble just standing up.
What's to blame?
I mean, the only thing that would have changed was the COVID vaccine. And that's when everything flipped upside down for me.
Government records obtained by our investigative team confirm Stancic has a serious heart condition, and her case may open the door to service members who believe they were harmed by the Defense Department's COVID vaccine mandate.
According to this Army memo, your debilitating heart condition can be caused by either COVID-19 infection or the COVID-19 vaccine. Have you...
The virus or the injection... The virus is also a deadly bioweapon. Don't ever forget that.
Ever tested positive for COVID-19?
I don't have a single positive test for COVID-19.
So is this Army memo an acknowledgement that your heart condition is the result of the COVID vaccine?
It 100% is an acknowledgement that it was a result of the vaccine.
How hard did you have to fight within the bureaucracy to get this memo?
It really was a 19-month grueling process.
Does the Defense Department have a special responsibility to you and others who believe they're COVID vaccine injured?
They're fully responsible. I was neglected, and the medical care that I needed to get was not happening, and so the damage was more by delaying the response.
Born in Lithuania, Carolina and her brother were adopted in 2003 by Lisa Stancic. 2 decades later, in college, she enlisted, inspired to serve by her grandfather, a World War II veteran.
I always looked up to him. He was a great leader, great role model, and I wanted to go ahead and follow in his footsteps.
In early 2021, she received her first COVID shot.
I received Moderna 1 and 2.
What was the reaction?
Cough, chest pain, sinus pressure. There was like a headache.
A month later, she received a second COVID shot. The reaction was intense.
I was experiencing severe neuropathic pain, felt like burning sensation throughout my whole body. And I was having chest pain, breathing issues, and a really high heart rate and dizziness. It felt like a balloon was blowing up in my chest.
Military records, independently reviewed by our team, confirm a debilitating heart condition known as postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, or POTS.
It's where your heart and your blood pressure don't work in accordance with each other.
What does it mean day to day?
Day to day, you don't know what's going to happen, right? And so I will wake up, my heart rate will hit the 180s, 190s.
On social media, Stancic documented her struggle to get an accurate diagnosis and timely medical help.
I don't know if I sound good or not. I feel like I can't breathe.
In April 2022, Stancic was released from active duty and told us she lost her health insurance and about $3,300 in monthly income.
I would say it's a culture of silence, but also at the same time, there's a fear of retaliation from the military and the government.
Having served for 21 years myself and having in a role most of that time as an officer, it's absolutely abhorrent to me that we would treat any young service member this way.
Jeremy Sorensen served in the Air National Guard as an F-16 and F-10 pilot and now advocates...
Okay, I think you can pretty well figure out where this is going to go next. I'll put this up as well under our names. We'll pop it up there for you. You can look at this one. Because I know a lot of you are either in the service, were in the service, know people in the service who are being treated like a disposable tissue out of a box. Just disgraceful.
Mm. Yeah.
Absolutely yep. Horrible. This is another example of a beautiful young life destroyed. Destroyed. This woman's life, she could die at any minute. 3 heart attacks. She could go at any time. She knows that.
Yep.
She's a smart lady. I don't... The shame of the military, but beyond that, the shame of this alleged government is beyond measure. This is evil off the charts.
Mm-hmm.
I know. It boggles the mind to realize that we live on a planet that after all of these tens of thousands of years of development, so-called development as a human species, this is where we are now.
I know.
Massively killing our species, our own species.
Yep.
I don't even know what to say.
It's a real head scratcher.
Dr. Chetty looks like a man who has been to the abyss and looked in the face of death, and he looks like he's still in shock a little bit. Extremely bright man, very, very articulate. But if those doctors in that hospital hadn't listened to him, he wouldn't be here. He'd be gone.
Right. Right. So, if you listen to the video, just, he mentioned some of the symptoms that he experienced and, not realizing what was coming. So, that's something to pay attention to. Be on the lookout for.
All right. Those symptoms are very important to note. You go out, and I don't know how prevalent whatever variant is now at the top of the list. Remember, all the variants, according to the Japanese, were created in laboratories and released. There's nothing of a normal viral program to ascribe to this thing. It's doing things that they're all tweaked. They're all man-made, human-made, and I think there's another angle. I think there's some evil that is on this planet that had to be involved with this somewhere.
Funny thing is that I don't know to what extent they're still using PCR swabs or even just the rapid antigen tests to look for COVID now, but the virus has mostly taken up residence in people's guts. So you're not apt to find it in the nasal cavity.
No, you wouldn't. That's true. So in a way, it's becoming...
I found it interesting. Well, it was one interview I watched recently. I think it was FLCCC. There were a couple doctors on there, and they were asking them, are you seeing any bird flu yet? Now, they're using... Many of these physicians or medical practices have something called a biofire panel that will look for, I think it tests for 10 or 12 different pathogens from a single nasal swab. And, of course, COVID is on there and a bunch of other things. But I guess that's par for the course now. And, it's naive to be relying on something so limited and pronouncing somebody infected or not infected when, all you're doing is looking for a fairly short nucleotide sequence in somebody's nose that doesn't even indicate whether there's viral replication or if it's even part of the virus you're looking for.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Okay, that's going to wrap it up. We're running over here. Thank you for that. As always, we do our best. You are the best, in my view, and I'm not joking. It's a very difficult thing to wrap your mind around. It has just too many tentacles. It's everywhere. And each tentacle can do things that will cause cascades of other effects that are just
I think we're really, we're starting to see a lot more consequences of people that took the vax a couple years ago and
yes.
Stopped at one or two. They're now having problems. Now, whether or not that's from the injections or the shedding that's been going on or a combination of the injections and now having been infected with the virus.
The virus.
It does seem to be a binary weapon in that regard. The combination of being injected and infected is worse than either on their own.
I agree. All right. Take care. Talk soon.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
And we will be right back with more.